Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. If you have a hymnal in the front of you, take it, turn a page to number 139, choir, church. Let's all stand and sing together at Calvary. All right, everyone sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride.
Seated as well. Again, it is so good to see you back here this evening. I'm going to slide over a little bit. I want you to notice something. We had a first-time visitor this morning. This is where I like it when people visit the church. Amen. She done joined the choir. Not only did she join the choir, but she was here for choir practice today as we started working on our Easter program. It is an honor to present to you Mrs. Vicki Johnson. And we are so glad to have her. Amen. We praise the Lord for it. You know, you don't see much of that anymore. People really getting in, getting involved, and growing for the cause of Christ. I remember when we first started visiting here, Brother Harold, we visited. Our first time to visit was on, probably a Sunday evening. On Wednesday night, we came back and just felt the moving of the Holy Spirit, and we joined Calvary to make it our home church. Our family fell in love with Calvary. You guys fell in love with us. I understand you loving my wife and my kids. I'm not real sure why you took me the way you did, but we are so thankful to have folks that come and get involved in the church. Amen. That being said, we still got some room in the choir. I don't know if you've noticed. And we still got a couple weeks, well, about a week and a half, to get ready for our Easter program. So plenty of room, plenty of time. Come on board. We'd love to have you. But I am so thankful to have a brand new choir member. And so it's just good to be back in his house this evening. What a great message this morning. Amen. And we look forward to what the Lord has in store for us. And so please, you remember all the announcement. We have several prayer requests. Some folks are traveling. Some folks are vacationing this week. We pray they'd have a very uneventful time and get some rest and some relaxation. Come back, and I know they will, and they'll be excited to be back in the house of the Lord next week. But let's go to him in a word of prayer and just ask the Lord to be in our service tonight. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray?
Let us hear your word and take it and share it with someone. my day so many times, so many ways. I have been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain. Sometimes the tears fall like the rain. But through it all, He's never changed. God is still good. Still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, my God, He's still good. Oh, mercy still flows from the palm of His hand. He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good.
Have them singing this special song, and so it's going to be, I'm sure.
This is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking. I've never Faithful through every season.
blessing tonight. Are we still walking on water tonight? That's the only way through this thing. Walking on the Word. Thank you, girls, young ladies, for that song this evening. And want to wish, not sure if Miss Catherine's watching tonight or not, but I want to wish her happy birthday tomorrow. It's tomorrow, right, Brother Ceylon? Happy birthday, Miss Catherine, if you're watching. We all love you and we miss you. We need you. So we got one hearty amen tonight. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. What a blessing. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 tonight, just for a few moments. And First Corinthians chapter number 2. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to introduce 1 and 2 Corinthians, then we'll make our way into 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Father, we come in Jesus' name one more time. And Lord, we just are thankful. We're thankful people. God, thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for our time in choir practice today. And thank you for the service thus far tonight. We're getting ready to start a brand new week into this dark, wicked world. So, Lord, I just pray that you would help us tonight, be a blessing, strengthen us from the truths of your word. And I pray by the time we leave tonight, we will be better than when we came in. We love you tonight, and we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Paul is the writer of 1 and 2 Corinthians. We know that this book, the book of 1 Corinthians, is a letter of correction. And the apostle deals with church problems here in this first epistle. This first letter of to the Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians is a letter of vindication. It is the apostle defending his apostleship. And he is doing that because many looked upon him like he wasn't an apostle. We'll read the verses in just a moment, but he was basically, some think, and the scripture suggests, he was a frail, smaller kind of man. And so he was looked upon like he was anything but an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he spends 2 Corinthians in large defending his apostleship. And again, here in 1 Corinthians, he writes this letter of correction dealing with church problems. And so, speaking of church problems here in chapter number 1 of 1 Corinthians, he starts by addressing contention in the church. If you notice in verse number 11 of chapter 1, the Bible says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, there are contentions among you." So evidently there were some from the house of Chloe that had reported to Paul, "Paul, there is trouble at Corinth. There is trouble in this church. There is contentions. They are fighting in this church." And that's a sad commentary in the church world today. That there are fights and arguments and contentions even. God forbid divisions and separations and splits of churches. But there are churches that split. And that's a sad thing, that we can't work out our differences and just go forward with the Lord. But it is a thing. And so Paul deals with that. And this church contention here had to do with who their favorite minister was. If you notice in verse number 12, the Bible says, Paul speaking, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am, or I of Apollos, and I of Cephas,
and eye of Christ. And so there were many there that said, you know what? Paul's my favorite preacher. And some others would say, you know, Paul's okay, but Apollos is my minister. And then Cephas is my minister. Now, no doubt Paul and Apollos and Cephas had a special part in their hearts individually. And I can understand how some would maybe gravitate toward one more than the other. And you've heard my testimony, and you know that, I mean, I've got many, many, where I've got some mentors and some that I look up to, but Brother Berman was always one that I looked up to and still do. And I still listen to his messages. And because he was involved with my younger days of my Christian walk. And so, basically, that's what's taking place here. There are some who are of this preacher. There are some who are of that preacher. But Paul kind of settles it and says, is Christ divided? Is it this preacher? Is he good? Is this one not so good? Is he a big preacher? Is this a little preacher? You know, minister and all these things. Christ is not divided. They're all preaching the same gospel, and we ought to be about the Lord of that gospel. And so we see that this is taking place in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Back up if you would and read and listen to verse number 10. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So Paul is pushing for oneness in the church. Not my favorite is this one, my favorite is that one, but our favorite, Paul's pushing, should be Christ. And everybody should have the same mind. There should be no divisions. And be perfectly joined together with the same mind and the same judgment. So that's what's taking place here in chapter number 1. Then we get to chapter number 2, our chapter tonight. And Paul begins talking about his arrival or entry at Corinth. Notice verse number 1 of chapter 2, if you would. The Bible says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want to stop reading there in verse number 5. Tonight, for a few moments, I want to preach just a simple message entitled, Paul's Arrival at Corinth. Paul's Arrival at Corinth. Just want to share a few things with you this evening that might be helpful as we start our week. Number one, in verse number 1, when it comes to Paul's arrival, we see his words. His words. Paul didn't have fancy words. Notice verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now look at verse number 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Also verse number 3 we could throw in there, because it says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And so we see the kind of speech that Paul had when he got to Corinth. It was not that kind of a fancy speech. Paul did not appear to be a fine orator or deep philosopher, though well educated in the Jewish way. Paul didn't rely upon personality to move people's hearts. Even Paul's appearance, again, as I said a moment ago, was questionable in regards to the message he preached. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 10:10. Just listen to it. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. That word contemptible, it means least esteemed. And so when he would speak, it was least esteemed. He wasn't a great orator, or his speech wasn't fine. He wasn't a deep philosopher, although he was well rehearsed and educated. He was just a man who came on the scene with plain words. Again, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech." The word excellency means superiority. It means prominence. And so Paul says, my entryway to you was that of not having fancy words. And so his words wasn't fancy. Number two, not only his words wasn't fancy, but his words wasn't worldly. Notice what else he says in verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." Or of wisdom. If you notice over in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." And so Paul's speech, his words, when he got to Corinth, wasn't fancy, but they weren't worldly either. He didn't share wisdom according to man. It wasn't worldly wisdom according to what man thinks or feels. Paul's wisdom, Paul's preaching, wasn't earthly. It didn't have anything to do with politics. It wasn't politically correct, but it was the testimony of God. He knew what his mission was. He knew why he was there. And so his words wasn't worldly. His words wasn't fancy, but his words was Christ-centered. That last part of verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." It was about the gospel of Jesus Christ when Paul came there. It was the testimony of God. And so what we can gather from this first point when it comes to his words is that Paul's speech when he arrived at Corinth was unmasked. It was raw and it was real. He didn't try to impress with eloquence or personality, not with worldly wisdom or trying to please man, but his speech was Christ-centered. Paul had an audience of one, and that was Jesus. And can I say tonight, all preachers should follow suit to that. Preachers should be unmasked, raw and real, not trying to impress with eloquence or personality, not with worldly wisdom, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, unfiltered, not holding back. All preachers should be that way, as Paul was. But not only all preachers should follow suit, but I believe tonight all Christians should follow suit. All Christians should follow suit. Our conversation ought to be unmasked. Our conduct, our conversation, it ought to be unmasked. It ought not to be hypocritical. We ought not to say one thing to one person and something else to another person. But we ought to have the kind of approach to this Christian life as one that is unmasked, raw and real. Not hypocritical, but Christ-centered. So we see that Paul and his words when he came, it was Christ-centered words. His words wasn't worldly. His words wasn't fancy. But I want to go a step further. Not only do we see his words tonight when he arrived at Corinth, but what about his ways? What about his ways? Notice, if you would, in verse number 2. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." The word "determined" here means concluded. It means resolution. And so we see that Paul's coming here to Corinth, his coming was predetermined. He had concluded before he got there. He had resolved before he got there what he was going to say and what he was going to do. Also, the Bible says here, uses the words "to know." For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That word know means engaged in or attend to. And so when we take a step back and look at this, we see that Paul's coming there to Corinth had to do with a predetermined coming, and that is he was going to focus on Jesus. Do you know tonight it would do us all good to predetermine every day when we wake up what our business is going to be about, what we're going to be engaged in or attend to. Let me say, we ought to predetermine, as Paul predetermined, not to know anything or be engaged in anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to predetermine our mindset for each day. What about the mind tonight? No negative, toxic thoughts. Predetermine before you start each and every day. Predetermine that you're not going to entertain any negativity. No paralyzing fears. Today I am predetermining. I am determined not to entertain any negative, toxic thoughts. I'm not going to entertain or give in to any paralyzing fears. We ought to predetermine some things with our mind every day. No paralyzing fears. Only positive and powerful meditations. Keeping Christ central. I believe that was the mindset of Paul here when he came to Corinth. He says, you know, I'm on my way to Corinth. And I'm sure there's going to be some problems when I get there. But before I get there, I'm going to think about what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be engaged in any arguments. I'm not going to be engaged in any he said, she said. I'm only going to be engaged with thus saith the word of God. That's what God called me to do, to be a preacher, Paul speaking, and that's what I'm going to do. Let us all predetermine how we're going to start our day. And let's predetermine our thought life. Devil, you're not getting a foothold in my mind today. Praise the Lord. Now, you did yesterday and you may tomorrow, but today is not going to be your day, big bad boy. No, sir. Today is going to be the Lord's day because the Lord has created this day. And so predetermine your mindset for the day, but also predetermine your pathway for the day. My responsibilities come first. Keep it between the ditches, so to speak. No exits down unfruitful paths. What would Jesus have me do today? We ought to predetermine our day. We ought to spend some time tonight thinking about what we're going to think tomorrow and what we're going to do tomorrow. Paul said tonight, for I determined, I have concluded, I have resolved not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so we see his ways. He had predetermined ways. And of course, we said we ought to predetermine our mindset. We ought to predetermine our pathway for the day. But then we ought to predetermine our Sundays. Amen. How about that? Paul said he predetermined. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said he predetermined that he was coming to preach Jesus and not be engaged with other matters. Let us predetermine how our Sunday is going to be. Let us predetermine how our Wednesday at church night is going to be. Let us all predetermine these special days before Sundays get here. Let us decide we're not going to get bogged down with the he said, she said, but we're going to decide instead of getting bogged down with the he said, she said, we're going to get bogged down with the love of God. Amen. We're going to get bogged down with the love of God. Paul says, for I determined not to know, not to be engaged in, not to attend to. Paul said, I'm going to church to preach and I'm going home. You know what we ought to do? We ought to come to church and worship the Lord and go home. Oh, yeah, fellowship and have fun times like that, but not get caught up in all this other mess that is in a lot of churches. It's all about Jesus tonight, And I know that's why you're here, because of him. You're not here because of anybody else. But we see Paul's ways tonight. We see his ways. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I got one more. We'll be through in a couple minutes. Not that long tonight. And so we see his ways. We see his words. But then number three, we see his wish. His wish. Look at verse number five. He said all that he said for verse number five, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so we see, when we back up and take a look at this, that it was Paul's plainness of words and determination to speak Jesus only, along with the Spirit operating with powerful results, was to show them human wisdom and human efforts have zero to do with a real faith in Christ and a life change. I know that was a mouthful. Paul's plainness of words and determination, his arrival here at Corinth, was to exhibit Jesus and his power, a changed life in the people who believed. And human wisdom, human efforts cannot produce a changed life and give you eternal life. Doesn't matter how much you try, you cannot inherit eternal life by human efforts. And so human reasoning and logic, human efforts cannot secure real salvation faith, nor support real salvation faith. Only faith in a crucified and risen Jesus will secure a real salvation faith and support a real salvation faith. Listen to this. He says your faith should not be founded and grounded on the sands of humanity, but the foundations of divinity, is what Paul's saying. Your faith should not be founded on the sands of humanity, but the foundation of divinity. He said, I came to you, my arrival was plain, not big fascinating words, not excellency of speech, but it was the pure gospel and it was in power, that you may not trust in human reasoning, but you may trust in God and the power thereof. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we see Paul's wish here. He wanted them to lean on the Lord and not lean on the wisdom of men, not lean on the makeup of men, the humanity of men. So we see that there. He wished and longed for their faith to start and stand on Christ alone, minus nothing, plus nothing. Human wisdom works with human power, which cannot produce real faith or change life. Heavenly wisdom works with heavenly power, which can produce real faith and a changed life. Amen. So the point of this is, his wish, in summarization, is that Paul wanted them to receive the gospel, then build their lives on the gospel, which gives powerful results and a firm faith. That's what Paul was getting at. That was his wish. Was to receive Jesus as Savior and build your life on Him. Tonight, that's the message, just Paul's arrival. Paul's arrival at Corinth. We looked at his words, we looked at his ways, we looked at his wish. And of course, as we mentioned a moment ago, that this can be applicable to our everyday Christian lives when it comes to our words, when it comes to our ways, and also when it comes to our wishes in life, what we really want. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things, God. I thank you, Lord, for the great Sunday we've had this Sunday. I thank you, Lord, for our wonderful visitors that have come to be with us, not just this morning, but tonight as well. And God, I pray as we go our separate ways tonight that we would just bask in you, lean on you, that we would walk on the Word, not focus on things we cannot change, but focus on the unchanging Word that stays the same. Help us leave tonight, Lord, with a spring in our step, a heart full of hope, and a desire and determination to be different tomorrow than we were today. Help us also, Lord, give us boldness and courage to tell somebody about Jesus. We love you tonight, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.